we present Jimmy Clitheroe as the Clitheroe Kid, with Peter Sinclair as grandfather, Patricia Burke as mother, Diana Day as Susan, and Leonard Williams as Theodore Craythorpe in
The Trouble with Higginbottom. Come on, Shirley. We'll sit here at the front of the bus.
Oh, yes, I like sitting at the front. You can see all the people waving to the driver to stop.
Yes, and then shaking the fists and shouting rude words.
Hold tight, please, hold tight.
Oh, well, that's the end of school till Monday, Jimmy.
Yes, and you never know your luck. The teachers might all get flu over the weekend.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
Oh, you never know. Ozzy turned up with a bad cold this morning, so we took him round and made him sneeze in every classroom.
Where is Ozzy? I thought he got on the bus with us.
He's there at the back. He always sits at the back, so the conductor can keep an eye on him.
Why, is he always getting into trouble?
No, he's always going to sleep. The times his dad's had to go to the depot to bring him home.
Does he sleep all the time?
No, only when he's not eating. Mind you, I think he's working on that. I know his mother told him off for taking a meat pie to bed. He's the only lad in our school who has gravy stains on his pyjama jacket.
Jimmy, you're making it up.
Oh, you don't know him like I do. Look at him at the back there now. He can hardly keep his eyes open. Wake up at the back there! No, Ozzy, this isn't your stop. It's the gasworks. It just smells like your house. Oh, shut up. And get your thieving nose out of the conductor's lunchbox.
Jimmy, you are terrible.
Now then, we don't want any noise on this bus.
Well, tell Ozzy to stop eating with his mouth open.
That's enough. Let's have your fares.
He's got the money. Go to the back.
Who?
My pal, Billy Bunter. He's just got his postal order.
You mean he's paying the one stuff in his face there?
Yes.
Oh, trust me to get on the school bus again.
Look, Jimmy, I've got my own fare.
Oh, save it. It's Ozzy's turn to pay.
But he paid this morning.
Well, he owes me a shilling. When we went in the history class, I bet him he couldn't sit still for 5 minutes.
And couldn't he?
No, he was up like a shot as soon as he sat on the drawing pin.
Now, look here, what's the game? This lad at the back says you're paying.
Oh, take no notice. He's having you on.
I'll have you all off in a minute if I don't get the money for your tickets.
Look, Jimmy, I'll pay. I've got a shilling.
You will not. Here's sixpence, mister. 2 threepennies.
It's like getting money from a stone. Now, what about that lad at the back?
He's not with us. He hasn't got his fare. Wake him up and chuck him off.
Don't you think I won't either. Hey, sleeping beauty, let's have your threepence.
I haven't got threepence.
Well, you can just get off this bus then. You're getting no free rides here.
Oh, tell my dad, you?
You can tell your dad what you like. He's lucky we don't summons him. Now, get off.
Oh, Jimmy, he's throwing him off. Poor Ozzy.
Poor Ozzy, nothing. Look where we are. This is Ozzy's stop.
It's a nice street.
Oh, yes, and it's better in summer. Wait till you taste Mr. Johnson's apples. Ooh, smashing. Oh,
does he give them away?
No, he just leaves them hanging about. On the trees.
Jimmy, you don't steal them off his tree.
No, he said we could have any that fell on the ground. Oh, but it's hard work.
Hard work? Picking apples up?
It is for Ozzy. He's up the tree shaking the branches.
Oh, Jimmy, you do make me laugh. Anyway, I'm glad I came to live down here. Are you?
Oh, yes.
Are you really glad?
Oh, of course I am. I've never tasted jam tarts like your mother makes.
I mean, what about me?
Can you make jam tarts?
Jimmy, sometimes you are silly.
What are you talking about?
Oh, nothing. I'll just go and see Mummy and then I'll come over to your house.
All right. I'm going to have a look at the workmen outside our front gate. Workmen? Yes, look. Granddad of Mr. Craythorpe messing about with the car.
All right, I won't be long. Bye-bye, Jimmy.
Night, Joe.
Theodore, will you keep that spanner tight in a nut while I give the fan pulley a tap?
It's not easy with my eyes closed.
Well, keep them open.
Look, lying here under this car, every time you strike with the hammer, I get my face charred in dust.
Well, I've got to get the fan belt on.
I don't see why you had to take it off, just to see if the petrol pump was working.
Well, if it isn't Sooty and Sweep.
Ah, you're here, Jimmy. That's all we needed.
Why don't you get a man from the garage to come and mend it?
We don't need a garage. It's only a simple job.
That's what you said when you put the washer on the tap and flooded the kitchen.
Now, that was an accident. I forgot to turn off the water at the main.
Mr. Sinclair, when you've finished talking about your past achievements, I'm still holding this spanner on this nut, and my arm's aching. Oh, I've got a mouthful of dust.
It serves you right. You should keep your trap shut.
You want a drink, Mr. Craythorpe?
Yes, please, James.
Well, undo that little tap on the radiator.
Oh, I've had it up. I'm coming out. Now, Mr. Sinclair, perhaps you'd like to take a turn under the car.
Oh, no, you don't. You're not getting me under that.
He couldn't without jacking it up.
That'll do from you.
Hey, Mr. Craythorpe. What's the idea of the fancy dress?
What? Well, I suppose it does look rather strange. Well, I'm wearing my best clothes, and when your mother saw me getting out of the car, she insisted on lending me her overall and dust cap.
Aye, aye. Jolly well give it a living, Sinclair.
Oh, it's you, Higginbottom.
Hello, Higginbottom.
Oh, Craythorpe, it's you. I thought it was Pat Moss getting ready for the Monte Carlo rally.
Look, if you're going to hang about here, get a spanner in your hand. You're a bus driver. You're supposed to know about engines.
I do know about engines.
Oh, well, how about a practical demonstration on this one?
All right, get out of the way, Craythorpe. I hate to see a boy trying to do a man's job.
What's wrong with it, Mr. Higginbottom?
Give me time to look. Now, Craythorpe, the engine just won't start.
There you are. It's found something out already.
Shut up. Now, Craythorpe, have you got petrol?
Yes.
Is your battery up?
Yes.
Does the engine turn over?
Yes.
Are you caught in?
Yes.
Come on, you two. Come and have your tea. Use it there, Shirley.
Oh, could I wash my hands first, please?
Ooh, you're always washing your hands.
Yes, well, you could just wash yours as well.
Oh, ma'am. All right. Come on, Shirley. This way to the torture chamber.
And use a clean towel out of the bathroom cupboard. Mr. Craythorpe and Mr. Higginbottom were up there washing the oil off their hands.
Right, ma'am. Come on, Shirley. Be careful of the 11th step.
Why?
There's only 10.
Oh. Jimmy, you've got a joke for everything.
Ooh, I'm all there with me cough drops. Here we are. Welcome to the beauty parlour. We've got everything here. Toothbrushes with no bristles. For people with no teeth. Hey, what did the toothpaste say to the brush?
I don't know.
Squeeze me and I'll meet you outside the tube.
Oh, come on, Jimmy. Your mother's got the tea ready.
But I'm showing you around. Now, over here, we have a face flannel for people with flannel faces. And Grandad's razor blade, bought by him with his own money when he joined up in 1914.
Jimmy, stop fooling about.
Oh, all right, Shirley. Here's a clean towel. Where's the dirty one?
Here you are.
Oh, thanks. Hey, watch this. The bullfighter. You hold the cloak like this. The bull charges. Ole! Charges again. Ole! The bullfighter spins round. Where's the bull gun? charges again. He dances in the corner. He whips the cloak round. Oh, heck, I've knocked the stool over.
Who's in that watch on the floor?
Watch? Oh, I don't know. It doesn't belong to anybody here.
Well, maybe Mr. Craythorpe left it when he was up for a wash.
No, he wears a pocket watch. One of... Oh, heck.
What?
It must be Mr. Higginbottom's watch. Oh, and it's not going.
Well, shake it.
It's no use. I've smashed it.
Will he be very cross?
Cross? Not off. He'll put me across his knee and leave his fingerprints all over my sit-upon.
Well, what are you going to do?
Oh, I don't know. I wonder how the boat's run to Australia.
Well, couldn't you get it mended before he finds out?
Well, who mend it for me?
Well, Mummy took me to a shop yesterday where the man repairs watches. It's not far away, and he told Mummy he was open till 6:30.
Oh, Shirley, you've saved me life. We'll hurry up and have tea, and then you invite me over to your house.
What for?
For about 30 minutes. While we go to the watchmender's.
Well, I could say that we're going to look at my stamp collection.
Oh, that's it. You know, this just proves what I've always thought.
What?
A bathroom is no place for a growing lad. Damaged.
Well, the mainspring's broken, and it'll want cleaning. It's very dirty.
Comes from a dirty house.
Well, can you mend it?
Well, you're very lucky. As a matter of fact, I've got some parts for this. We need them. They're always going wrong with these cheap watches. How did you break it?
Bullfighting.
Bullfighting?
He was playing with a towel in the bathroom.
Never again. From now on, I only wash when it rains.
Well, are you in a hurry for it?
Oh, yes, it's a matter of life and death.
Oh, well, in that case, I could have it ready tomorrow afternoon.
Well, we'll call for it.
Well, don't be late. We close at 5 on Saturday.
Oh, good.
And it'll be 25 shillings.
Oh, heck. Can I pay you a bob a week?
Oh, no, I'm sorry. I'm afraid I must have the 25 shillings before you can have the watch.
Oh, all right, then. But if I'm not in tomorrow, keep it till you get a letter from Australia.
Oh, don't worry. We'll be in tomorrow with the money. Come on, Jimmy.
Shirley, what are you talking about? 25 bob tomorrow? All I've got is 1 3, 2 glass alleys and Ozzy's pocket knife. And I can't sell that.
Of course not.
No, the blade's broken.
Well, I've got 3 shillings in my piggy bank. You can have that.
Oh, no, Shirley. I couldn't take 3 shillings off you.
Oh, of course you can.
Oh, no.
But I want you to have it.
No, Shirley.
All right, then don't have it.
Well, if you insist. Bring it round in the morning. That means we need another pound and 9. Oh, where are we going to get that?
Well, surely we can raise it between us.
Well, I think I could manage the 9.
Well, Shirley's mother glad to see you.
Who?
Shirley's mother.
Who are you talking about? Oh, Shirley's mother. Oh, yes.
What was the collection like?
Shocking. 4 3. And that was after... Oh, the stamps. Oh, yes. Oh, very nice. Is Grandad in?
No, he's out.
Has he drawn his pension today?
Look, I don't know what all this is about, but I'm busy. And I'm going upstairs to turn out Grandad's wardrobe.
Well, if there's anything you want to give to a jumble sale, I'll sell it. Take it.
Jimmy, are you up to something?
No, Mum. Of course I'm not.
You've got that tone in your voice. As though you're looking for a mug.
Oh, Mum. Hey, that reminds me. Is Billy here?
Yes, Billy is here. He's in the front room with Susan, and don't you go disturbing them.
I won't disturb them.
Yes, well, you just find something to keep yourself out of mischief. I've got to go upstairs now.
I'll just see what's going on. If I can get Susan off his knee for 5 minutes, I might be able to tap him. Ah, here we are. They've left the front room door open. Billy must need some fresh air. No wonder with all that scent she sprays behind her lugs.
You seem very happy tonight, Susan.
Well, it's Friday night. No work tomorrow. I'm here with you. And Jimmy's out.
Very soon, Jimmy's going to be in.
Oh, I don't know. Jimmy's not so bad.
Good old Billy.
He's just a bit nosy, that's all.
You can talk with your conk.
Oh, let's forget him. He won't be back for another hour yet.
Doesn't time fly when you're in love?
What do you want here?
I've just come in with a message for you. Mary Patterson wants to see you right away. It's very urgent.
What does she want?
How do I know? I don't go poking my nose into other people's business. Oh. What are you laughing at, Billy? You've seen our Susan before.
When did you get this message?
I've only just thought of it. Got it.
Oh, well, I'd better go round. She'll only come round here if I don't. I won't be long, Billy. She just lives round the corner.
That's all right, Susan. I won't run away.
I'll see to that.
Well, Jimmy, how are you?
Well, I'm all right now. Hey, Billy, are you going to marry our Susan?
Well, Jimmy, I don't know. Maybe I will one day.
It costs a lot of money to get married, doesn't it?
Yes.
Well, have you started saving?
Well, I'd like to, Jimmy, but I don't seem to be able to manage it.
I know a way you can save.
Do you?
Yes. You know you give me a shilling every week.
I gave it you yesterday.
I know that. Well, there's 52 weeks in a year, and I've just worked it out. That's £2.12 I get. So, I'm going to save you £1.11 and threepence.
How?
You give me £1 and ninepence, and we'll call it straight for the year.
Oh, Jimmy, what do you think you're doing?
I'm flogging a dead horse here.
Mary Patterson isn't in.
Well, why didn't you wait?
She's been in Switzerland since Monday, so how could you get a message from her?
Reindeer?
What are you talking about?
Well, I mean, it's you. You've got it all wrong.
I've got it all wrong?
Yes, you should have waited till I'd finished the message instead of dashing out like that.
All right. What was the message, then?
Mary Patterson wants to see you right away. It's very urgent, but don't come round this week because she's in Switzerland. Here you are, Grandad. I've been for your tobacco. That'll be threepence for the errand.
All right. Where's the matches, then?
Oh, matches are a separate errand, so it'll be sixpence.
What?
Come on, you agreed.
Oh, I need my head examining.
All right, lie down. That'll make it ninepence.
Now, look here. This money-grabbing has got to stop. No, I was only telling your mother.
Well, hello, ma'am. What's for dinner?
Steak and chips.
Steak's dear, isn't it?
It is, very dear.
Well, how much will my bit cost?
The way you eat, about half a crown.
Well, never mind my steak. Just give me a few chips and two bob in cash.
Jimmy, run along. You've already had this week's pocket money. I don't know what all this is about, but you can just forget it.
Oh, I'm sorry, I was looking for Susan.
What are you talking about?
Oh, it's you, Susan. I wondered what Anita Ekberg was doing in our bathroom.
All right, funny boy, what do you want? I'm washing my hair.
No, honest, Susan, you look just like a film star with that beautiful hair hanging down.
It's soaking wet.
As I told Billy, he's a lucky fella to be going out with the prettiest girl in the town.
Never mind the compliments. If you want to be nice, just pass that jug of warm water over so I can rinse my hair. And tell me what you're after.
Well, I'm collecting for a charity.
What charity?
The Poor Kids Outing.
Don't give me that. You're collecting for yourself, and I've got no money.
Well, you're always saying you've got no new dresses.
I haven't.
Well, can I sell some of your old ones? I'll go halves with you.
I wouldn't give you an old duster of mine. Now get out till I finish washing my hair.
All right, wash your scraggy old hair.
Oh, you've changed your tune. Don't I look like a film star now?
Yes, you look like Lassie.
Oh, get out. Give me that jug of water.
It's a pleasure. Duck your head.
Oh!
So, you see, Mr. Craythorpe, to raise this money for the poor children, I'm selling firewood.
Well, I suppose firewood always comes in useful. I don't mind buying some.
Good. I'm also collecting old furniture for the poor children. Have you any?
Well, now, come to think of it, there is an old sideboard in the wash house. You can take that.
Oh, thanks, Mr. Craythorpe.
Well, now, when do I get the firewood?
As soon as I've chopped up the sideboard.
Oh, James, I couldn't allow you to do that.
All right, well, have you got any old clothes for the poor children?
But my clothes wouldn't fit children.
Well, they've got poor mothers and fathers. I mean, that's why the kids are poor.
Well, I'll have a look upstairs.
Good.
And if there are any old clothes, you shall have them on Monday.
That's no good. It's 4:30 and the shop closes at 5.
What shop?
The watch, the grocer's. For the food. For the poor kids.
Oh, James. Well, if the children are hungry, we can soon remedy that. We'll go straight down to the grocer's shop and order a parcel of food on my bill.
All right, I'll give in. There's only one thing left.
What's that?
The truth. I broke Mr. Higginbottom's watch. It's been mended, the shop closes at 5:00, and the man wants 25 shillings. So Mr. Higginbottom will scalp me.
Oh, I see. And you haven't got 25 shillings to pay for it?
Not quite. I'm a bit short.
Well, why didn't you say so, James? Well, now, how much do you need to make up the 25 shillings?
19 and 11 halfpenny.
Oh, that much. Oh, well, come along, James. We'd better go down to the shop and collect the watch. And I shall keep it safe till we meet Mr. Higginbottom.
You mean you lend me the 19 and 11 halfpenny?
No.
Oh.
I'm going to give it to you.
Craythorpe.
Thank you, James.
Is the watch still going?
Of course it is, James. Don't worry. It's quite safe in my pocket. I was surprised to find Higginbottom not in his house at this time of the day.
Oh, hello, Theodore.
Hello, Mrs. Clitheroe.
Where have you been, Jimmy?
Oh, I've been for a walk with Mr. Craythorpe.
Well, I told you not to be late. Your tea's been ready for 30 minutes.
Well, we got held up, didn't we?
Yes. Mr. Higginbottom wasn't in.
Oh, Mr. Craythorpe.
What did you want with Higginbottom?
Well, you see...
Now, look, Higginbottom. I'm telling you, you're wrong.
I know I had it when I came here.
Hello, Father. Mr. Higginbottom, what's going on?
Look, this fellow Higginbottom trying to say that...
If you don't mind.
Ask me what?
Well, missus, did you find my watch in your bathroom?
Watch? No, there's no watch up there. I've just tidied the bathroom.
Mr. Higginbottom.
Oh, that's very funny. I definitely took that watch up to have a wash in your bathroom, and I didn't put it on again.
Well, your watch isn't in the bathroom now, and if you don't believe me, you can go up and have a look.
I believe you, missus, but I've just thought of something. You were up there with me, Craythorpe. I came down first and left the watch behind, and now it's missing.
How dare you insinuate that I'm a thief?
You can't come here accusing people of being thieves.
All right. Craythorpe, turn your pockets out.
Yes, give him the watch.
I certainly... Oh,
so you have got it. Come here, you thieving magpie.
Let go. Take your vulgar hands off me.
Mr. Higginbottom, let go of his throat. I knocked your watch on the floor and bust it. I took it to the watchmaker's and Mr. Craythorpe's paid for it to be mended.
You paid for my watch, Craythorpe. That's the best joke I've heard this week.
Well, if you let go of Mr. Craythorpe's windpipe, he can have a laugh as well.
Oh, sorry, Craythorpe. Is your throat all right?
My throat is, but my feelings are hurt. Perhaps you now realize that I'm not a thief.
No, but you're a right mug.
A right mug?
Yes, Higginbotham was taking the watch to be repaired when he came here yesterday.
You what?
Aye, that's right. Ozzy overwhelmed it and he broke the mainspring.
Then it wasn't me after all.
No, just for once you were innocent.
Mr. Higginbotham, would you put your hands round Mr. Craythorpe's throat again?
What for?
I want to see exactly how it's done before I try it on your Ozzy. I thought you might like to know we got the repair money back off Mr. Higginbotham. I can't tell you what he said, though, because me grandad made me go out of the room. Anyway, I used my £5 for the poor children's outing. I took Shirley on the fairground.
Jimmy, come on to bed.
I've got to go now, so I'd better say goodnight. Oh, I'd better say goodbye, because you won't be hearing any more about my family for a while. I hope you've enjoyed listening to us and didn't think I was too naughty, because as me grandad told the headmaster after the fire brigade had gone... Whatever he said and whatever he did, it was only because he's the Clitheroe Kid.
That was the last in the present series of the Clitheroe Kid, in which you heard Peter Sinclair, Patricia Burke, Leonard Williams, Daniel Day, Peter Goodright, Carol Gardner, Tony Melody, Gordon Rawlings, with, of course, Jimmy Clitheroe as the kid himself. The theme music was written by Alan Roper and played by the BBC Northern Dance Orchestra under the direction of Alan Ainsworth, with Jimmy Leach at the electronic organ. The recorded program was written by James Casey and Frank Roscoe and produced in the north of England by James Casey.